Today's shiur is Masechet Zvachim, Daf Chav Tes. We will begin on Daf Chav Ches, Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. El Amar Rava. Yesterday, at the end of the shiur, we spent time identifying two psukim in Parashat Tzav, and psukim in Parashat Kedoshim, that speak ostensibly about the Surim of Pigel that we have been discussing. And what we were attempting to do, and the Gemara has not yet come up with the final explanation, is to understand which pasuk speaks about chutzlos manoi, which pasuk speaks about chutzlos mekaymai, and the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, that by chutzlos manoi there's a chiv karis, and by chutzlos mekaymai there isn't. How do we know so? El Amar Rava, so Rava has a whole different way of interpreting the psukim. He says, Kula Mikra Aricha Asyon. Both the halacha of Chutzlos Manoi and the halacha of Chutzlos Mekaymai are learned from the pasuk, the long pasuk. The Gemara calls it the long pasuk because the pasuk in Parashas Tzav is longer than the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. Both of those rules are learned from that pasuk. And Rabbi begins to explain the wording of the pasuk. The Ksiv, the pasuk begins with the words Ha'ochel Ya'ochel to teach the B'shtei Chilas Kos Medavra. When we speak about a consumption and having the improper machshava regarding consumption, it's Achra Chilas Adam V'Achra Chilas Mizbeach. Consumption can mean human consumption or can mean consumption by the Mizbeach. B'shtei Chilas Kos Medavra Achra Chilas Adam V'Achra Chilas Mizbeach. The pasuk continues with the words Mibsar Zavach Shlomav. To teach us, mash shlomim. When you have a carbon shlomim, and chas v'shalom, the kohen is having the improper machshova when he's bringing the carbon shlomim, there's mefaglim or mefspaglim. Which means, when you have pigel, you have the machshova regarding an avoid, during an avoidah, and as we learned, and we'll continue learning, it's regarding a blood avoidah, Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika, during one of the avoidas with the dam, that's when it becomes pigel, and the pigel affects mispaglin, it affects the meat of the carbon. Afkol, you can only have pigel when you have two types of parts to the carbon. Mifaglin, a part that where pigel could happen, or mispaglin, what gets a fig affected by that, which comes to exclude certain carbon mincha, where, although in the typical case of a carbon mincha, we remove the kaimets, the kaim removes the kaimets, that's what's burnt, and the rest is eaten by the kohanim. There are certain carbon mincha that are completely burnt. There is no kaimets, carbon mincha that the kohen gadol brings every day, the carbon mincha that a kohen brings when he's inaugurated to do his avoda, carbon minchas nesachim don't have the kaimets and the rest. And therefore, the din of pigel will not apply to them. That's posh pshat in the Gemara. Another pshat in the Gemara, important halacha that we'll learn also later in the Masechta. Pigel can only take place on the mispaglim. That means, if a carbon became pigel, and somebody eats the basar of that pigel, so it'll be chayiv karis. But there is no chayiv karis for eating the dam of a carbon that's pigel. There's a separate issur in eating dam, because it's a mefagel, not a mespagel. Only on the mespagel part is there a din of pigel, not on the mefagel part. Shlishi, the pasuk continues teaching us the word shlishi. That's to teach us chutzlos manoi, that the kohen had a machshava to eat or consume, the word we've been using, the carbon after the proper time. Lo yirotza, to teach us katzos kosher kachatzos pasul. The rule of a kosher carbon and a posel carbon travel together. Umah hatzos kosher. A carbon is not considered kosher. A carbon is not considered to have accomplished all that it's supposed to accomplish. Achi yikrivu kamatira. We've learned this halacha numerous times. Until the zrikas adam takes place, we don't have a kapara. Af hatzos posel, so too is the halacha regarding a carbon that's pigel. When does the carbon become pigel? Until the Zrika takes place. Until Zrika takes place, it's not pigel. However, I saw the Mishnah Lamelech asks two interesting questions. One question, he says, is that we're now speaking about the chutz l'zmanoi, which, as we've learned and continue learning, is considered tegel. What about chutz? And that's where the pasuk is teaching us that it doesn't become tegel until you finish doing the zrika. Ask the Mishnah Lamelech, what's going to be the halacha by machshavas chutz l'mekaymoi? Does the same rule apply or not? Does the same rule apply that it doesn't really get the psul of chutz l'mekaymoi until after zrika? So the Chazon Ish says, absolutely. And the basis of the Chazon Ish's vort is really a Ramban, and I'll bring a riot to the Ramban in a couple of moments. And we've been learning the Gemara all along with that Ramban. We've been speaking about chutz l'zmanai and chutz l'mekaymoi. And certainly chutz l'zmanai is a more severe avera. Chutz l'zmanai comes with an einish karis. Chutz l'mekaymoi doesn't. But, says the Ramban, they're both really pigel. They're just different degrees of pigel. There's a pigel that's called chutz l'zmanai, and there's a pigel that's called chutz l'mekaymoi. That's really the only substantive difference between those two types of pigel. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, if they're all in the category of pigel, they're all really one iser. If we just finish saying by chutz l'zmanoi, it's only after the zrika that it becomes pigel, so too regarding chutz l'mekaymoi. Another question that he said, that the Mishnah Melech discusses, that even though we're saying that it doesn't have a din of pigel until the zrika took place, and that means to have a chiyuv karis for eating from this carbon, it isn't there until zrika, that doesn't mean that it's not possible. And certainly if a machsheva was done wrong, there's an isser, and there's an isser to eat from the carbon. The chiyuv karis only kicks in after the zrika. Hamakrif, to teach us the pasuk further, Bakrabu nifso, vein nifso bashlishi. Here, in this halacha that we're going to spend a lot of time learning later in the shir, but what happens here is as follows. When is it considered pigel? If when the kohen brought this carbon, he had the machsheva chutz l'zmanai. But let's say we'll have a different situation, that the carbon was left past the time you're allowed to leave it. Became nicer. Does the carbon retroactively become possible? Says the Gemara by Kravu Nifsal. It could only become pigel if when you brought it, it was brought with the wrong intention. Vein Nifsal B'Shlishi, it doesn't become possible retroactively after it becomes nicer. Why? So the Rishonim say, the explanation is very simple. If the carbon was brought properly, once the carbon was brought properly, it accomplished everything it's supposed to accomplish. Now, you want to retroactively say it's a possible carbon, you can't do that. Once it's a good carbon, you can't change it to be a bad carbon. And actually, I saw that the Paiskim apply this logic to a very interesting question. It's a question that many situations in Shas are discussed with this situation. Let's say somebody makes a transaction with a Tanai. He learned all the sugyas of Tanoim. He does the Tanai properly, Tanai Kofel, etc. So I, let's say, sell you my house, and I make a condition. I'm selling you my house on condition that you come to the shir. I really didn't need you to come to the shir to sell the house. I just wanted you to come to the shir, so I threw it in to the condition of the transaction. And you didn't come to the shir. So the transaction is void. Can I at that point say, I just wanted you to come to the shir, I didn't mean to void the transaction? Of course not. A tanai becomes part of the transaction. If it is, it is, and if it isn't, it isn't. And you can't make believe afterwards that it should make believe that I never said it. What you say is real. The same thing here. If the carbon is good, it can't become possible. And if the transaction is void, by me saying I didn't mean it, I can't say that the condition isn't there. I can make a new transaction, but the transaction that was made with a condition, you can't just change your mind afterwards. Continues the pasuk. Oisai, the pasuk says that the carbon gets possible, teaches us the pasuk, what is the Torah teaching us? Which means that if there is, the carbon becomes pigel, it's the carbon that becomes pigel, not the kohen. The kohen doesn't become pigel. Lo yichashev, says the Gemara, lo yichashev by machshavas acheres. And this is a halacha that the next Mishnah and the next sugya is going to focus on heavily, that a carbon only becomes pigel if there are no other disqualifications with this. But if there are any other disqualifications with this carbon, then that carbon will not be considered pigel. We're going to discuss this halacha in great detail in the next Mishnah. Explains the Brisker Rav, what is this din teaching us? The Brisker Rav is teaching us that there's a big chiddush here. We would think that once the carbon became pigel, even if somebody had another disqualifying machshava, it shouldn't be valid, because it's already pigel. There's no room for any further improper machshavas. Teaches us the pasuk on the contrary. The further improper machshavas are possible, and not only are further improper machshavas possible, they're actually going to be work in your favor, because they'll take it out the carbon from being in the category pigel. Then the Torah uses the words pigel. The word pigel is superfluous. It's a chutz mekaymai. Here the pasuk introduces the concept of chutz mekaymai. And this is where the Ramban says the word I just said a moment ago. We've been saying that the Mishnah, the Gemara, always uses the words pigel for chutz lezmanai, and it's chutz mekaymai pigel or not. And many Rishonim say, no, chutz mekaymai has nothing to do with pigel. Says the Ramban, the Gemara is saying just the opposite. What is the word that teaches us the whole psul of chutz mekaymai? The whole psul of chutz mekaymai is learned from the word pigel. And indeed, of course, it doesn't have the same einish as chutz lezmanai, but it's certainly pigel. That's the whole word that teaches us that psul. Yeah, melamachim and starfim zemzeh. It comes to teach us that if you have a carbon, and we'll discuss this then a lot more too, that you had a machshava, yesterday we discussed, further Mishnah discussed, that the shear is a kazayis, and you had a machshava, chatzi kazayis chutz lezmanai, and chatzi kazayis chutz lemkaymai, they combine that the carbon will be possible. Continues the pasuk, v'nefesh ha'echelos v'menu, and this is the pasuk that we discussed previously, to teach us, echaz v'loshnayim, that even though this pasuk just spoke about two different disqualifications, chutz lezmanai v'chutz lemkaymai, teaches us the pasuk only on one of them is the chiyuv karis. Veza, which one of the two? Says the Gemara is a chutz lezmanai. We're going to say that the chiyuv karis is by chutz lezmanai. Why? Obvious question. Why would I want to say more that chutz lezmanai is a chiyuv karis more than chutz mekaymai? Answers the Gemara. The Gemara oven minoise the dama leb zabab. In the previous year, we already have proven conclusively through a gzer shav of kodesh, that eating noiser carries with it a chiyuv karis that we learned in the previous year. Now the Gemara is saying like this: we have a fact that eating noiser, rachman al-tzlan, carries with it a chiyuv karis. Now we have two averis that we've established in today's year: chutz lezman and chutz mekaymai. By one of them, as the pasuk says, the word mimenu, there's going to be a chiyuv karis. Which one? Says the Gemara, makes sense to say that's going to be chutz lezmanai. Why does it say chutz lezmanai? Because what is more similar to noiser? Chutz lezmanai, chutz mekaymai. Says the Gemara, chutz lezmanai is more similar to noiser. Why? They share the common characteristics of zman. They both apply to something time-related. And days, bama. They're both psulim that apply to kabbonis even brought on a bama. So if I have to choose what is going to be the chiyuv karis, what is more similar to noiser? So the Gemara, Chutz Lezmanai is more similar to Noisim than Chutz Mekaymai. Says the Gemara, Gevaldik, Rava, you've taken this Pasuk and Parashas Tzav and learned from every word crucial and important rules. But as we learned in the previous year, there's a very similar Pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. What is that Pasuk now here for? Amalei Rapapa L'Rava L'Didach Shlishi the Parashas Kedoshim Tiyu, this Pasuk and Parashas Kedoshim my Derash Tabei. What will you use that pasuk to teach us? Answers the Gemara: Harumi Bailei Lemakim Shemeshulish Bedam Bebasa Obiyamurim. That pasuk is teaching us. First, we'll say Rashi's pshat. For it to be considered pigel, it has to be a situation where you had in mind chutz l'mekaymai to eat it outside of the azara. Why? Because outside of the azara is a place where you could bring the dam, and you could bring the emrin, when bombs were permitted, and you could eat the basar. Certain kabbanis could be eaten outside the azara. So since it's a place that is a place that you can have dam, basar, and emrin, that's why a machshav in that place will make pigel. Unlike the heichel, where you can never burn emrin in the heichel, there's never a case where emrin are burnt in the heichel, there's never a case that basar is eaten in the heichel, so if somebody had in mind to take the carbon and do it in the Heichel and the Kaidish, that won't be considered Chutzlum Kaimai. That's how Rashi learns. There's a long Taisvis. Somebody wants to take a day off from work, he can work with that Taisvis. Taisvis has many other Pshatim in this Gemara. One Pshat Taisvis says is that it's referring to only a carbon that's brought in the Azara, not to carbonis that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash proper, which would exclude a Chatas Pnimi. Another Pshat that Taisvis says, it's only referring that you had in mind to eat a carbon outside of where it's allowed to be, which would mean that a Kachim Kalim, you had in mind to eat it outside of Yerushalayim, Kachim Kachim outside of the Azara. But if you had in mind Kachim Kalim to have a Machshava in Yerushalayim, it can't become pickle. Another Pshat that Taisvis suggests, a very important question. We know that a carbon Shlamim, the Halach is Nechla Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. It's eaten for 2 days and one night. So, if let's say somebody's bringing a carbon shlum and he has in mind, I'm going to eat it tomorrow, there's nothing wrong with that makshava. However, what happens if he has in mind that he's going to do this Rikas Adam tomorrow? Even in a carbon shlum, the eating may take place for 2 days. This Rikas Adam can't take place for 2 days. It has to be the day you bring the carbon. So what's going to be the halacha if somebody had in mind to do this Rikas Adam tomorrow? Will that be Chutzal Zmanai? So Taisa says the Gemara is being Mechadish, that since as far as the Basar is concerned, it's not Chutzal Zmanai, for the Dam either. Very Bechadish. He says that's what the Gemara means. Ask the Gemara, important lesson, especially we have so many different possibilities. However, ask the Gemara, why do we need the Pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim to teach us this rule? Typically, Mikra Kama. We can learn it from the Pasuk in Parashas Tzav. Because there too the Torah used the word Shlishi, so we can learn the word Mokka Mesholosh. Answers the Gemara, Amr Rav Ashi, Amrita L'shmatza Kameder Amasna, Amalei, and he responded to me as follows. Ima Hasam, if I would only have the Pasuk in Parashas Tzav, I would say, Havamina, first the Torah uses the word shlishi, which is a prat. Then the Torah uses the word pigel. And one of the ways that the Torah is explained is when you have a prat and then a klal, the rule is nasa klal moisef al prat. If first you have a prat, the word shlishi, which is a specific, and then you have a klal, a general word, the word pigel, we follow the second word. And therefore, it was Rabbi Shammachimus. So if I only were left with the Pasuk and Parashat Tzav, the halacha of Mokka Mesholosh, which we said has so many different applications, wouldn't be there. So we have to rely, Kamash Malon, on the Pasuk and Parashat Kedoshim, which is only a prat, with no cloud following it, to teach us the halacha of Mokka Mesholosh. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. V'him yo'achel yo'achel mepsa'a zevach shlomav. Omer, this is the pasuk in Parashas Tzav. Omer, b'lazer, koif aznecha l'shmaya. Pay attention. What's pshat? Pay attention. Every time we find the Tana saying something in Shas, does he tell the Talmidim pay attention? That over here he tells them to pay attention? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is Rebbe Elazar is going to have a whole new approach. So he says you have to pay attention because I'm coming up with a chiddush. Another pshat is, Rebbe Elazar was usually very careful to explain a pasuk according to its literal meaning. Here, he's not going to be following the literal meaning. So it's a new approach for him. So he's telling his Talmidim, I'm going to be teaching you today in a new derech that you're not accustomed to, and therefore, koif aznecha l'shmaya, you're going to have to pay attention better. Koif aznecha l'shmaya. B'mechashev lechol, Mizivchoy, it's referring to a person who has a mind to eat from his carbon, which is Chutzlas Manoi. Oy Eina Ella, maybe, like we spoke about earlier, that the Pasuk is referring to an individual, but Oycha, Mizivchol Yom Shlishi, a case of Noiser, that if a person ate from his carbon after the proper time, the carbon should become disqualified. Says Rebbe Elazar, that can't be Pshat in the Pasuk. Amrit, like we explained earlier, achshu kosher, after the carbon was brought properly and it affected what it was supposed to affect, yachs of a yifsel, should it then become possible? Can't be. Although, I did see a fascinating Sfasemis. Sfasemis says, a chiddush nifla. He says that for carbon, according to Rabbi Lezer, to be pigel, of course you had to have the raw machshava, that you're going to eat a chutzlo's manon. But let's say the carbon you had the raw machshava, but you didn't actually eat it chutzlo's manon, or chutzlo mekaymai, the carbon isn't really pigel. The machshava alone, without the action, doesn't complete the act of pigel. It's a very bechiddush, it's not pashup shat at all. Ask the Gemara, says Rabbi Kiva, why not? There are precedents where things happen retroactively. And Rabbi Kiva gives us the concept. We know a Zov is a person, a male, who has two emissions in 1 or 2 days. He becomes a Zov, he needs Zayin Nekiyim. A Zova is a woman, I don't want to go through it, we've said it many times, but Midaraisa, and I emphasize Midaraisa, it's not the halacha nowadays, nobody should make a mistake. A woman's life is a cycle of 7 and 11 days. During the 7 days, she can become a nida. During the 11 days, she can become a zava. And if she has an emission, 3 days, three emissions, she becomes a zava gedoyla, and that's when she requires zayin nekiyim. Or a shemeras yom keneged yom, which is a zava or a zava that only had one emission by a zav, or two emissions by a zava, that she only has to wait 1 day. Shemecheskes tara. So the halacha is as follows, and again, I have to emphasize, nobody should act this way, la halacha. But, the halacha is as follows. Let's say a woman or a male is a shmer shoyim keneged yoyim. So today is the day that if they'll be clean today, by tonight they'll be fine. Midaraisa, they could go to the mikveh this morning. And if the day goes on, they'll be fine by tonight. But let's say they went to the mikveh this morning, and then during the day, they see another riyah. It retroactively makes them tameh. So we see that they were tahar, and then they became tameh, retroactively. So we do have a precedent, asks Rabbi Kiva, for things to happen retroactively. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that a woman, let's use the case of a Zava Gedoyla with Zayin Nekiyim. So Rashi says, once a number of days have passed, she already has a Cheskes Tara. 3 days, Rashi actually says here 4 or 5 days, many Mefarshim say it would be the same by 3 days. After 3 days, she has a Cheskes Tara. But even though she has a Cheskes Tara, if she sees on the 7th day, or if she had Bia on the 7th day, it would be Bia with a Zava. Because retroactively, she's Tomei. As she has a Cheskes Tara, doesn't make a difference. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. So Rashi explains that she has a Cheskes Tara. The only question is, in the Rishonim, and it's very relevant, La'aloch L'maisa, when does the Cheskes Tara begin? There are Rishonim say the Cheskes Tara begin right after the Hefsek Tara. There are Rishonim say the Cheskes Tara begin after 3 days, because that's a Chazaka. Rashi, as I said, it's hard to understand what the basis of Rashi's opinion is. 4 or 5 days. Other Rishonim say it's on the 7th day. That if, since she could go to the mikveh already in the 7th day, and she went to the mikveh, so that's when she has the Cheskes Tara. Where is this very relevant? Because let's say a woman has a shaila on a mara. There's a shaila that a woman has during the Zayin Nekiyim. Now, obviously, for Rav to pass, the Noi de Behuda has very long tshuvas on this issue. For Rav to pass in the Shaila, it's a whole different Shaila if it's a woman who has a Cheskes Tara versus a woman who has a Cheskes Tumah. So if we say that a woman already after the Hefsek Tara has a Cheskes Tara, the Rav is in a much easier position to be lenient. If it takes 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 7 days to have a Cheskes Tara, it's going to be much more complicated for Rav to come up with a Kula on a Shaila that comes up during the Zayin Nekiyim. But again, let's go back to our sugya, to Kodshim. We're going to learn Masechta Nida, Be'ezer Hashem. But in our sugya, what are we learning? We're learning that a woman has a Cheskes Tara, and then retroactively goes away. So what is the problem? Maybe if a carbon was brought properly, and then it turns into nicer, we should say the same, that retroactively, it's possible. The Kivin Shiro Sosru, Af At Alta Tamas suggests Rabbi Kiva Alzer. even though the carbon was brought properly, shiach sviyufsel, it should become possible retroactively. Amalei, harei oimer, that's why the Torah uses the words hamakrif, to emphasize, b'shas hu krova hu nifsal, it is or it isn't going to be possible based on what happens when it's brought, v'ein nifsal b'shlishi, not what happens later on. Or ein oimer hamakrif, perhaps what the Torah is teaching us, says the Gemara, a different limud, that zakoin hamakrif, that the pasuk is teaching us that the kohen who brings such a carbon becomes disqualified. Shoimer, therefore the Torah uses the word isoi to teach us b'zevach medaber. It's only that the carbon is under discussion if it becomes disqualified. Then medaber the kohen is not under the discussion. There was never a question that the kohen should become disqualified even if he did a terrible thing of making carbon into pigot. Benazay oimer, isoi matam loimer. What do I learn from the word isoi? Lefishinam, because the Torah says that when you donate a carbon, there's a din, and we learned the sugya from Masech Rosh Hashanah, about ta'achar, and as we learned from Masech Rosh Hashanah, you have 3 yom tovim to bring it in. Lefishinam, b'loy sa'achar, l'shamoy, yochel af ma'achar nidroi, b'loy yiretza, that if somebody brings the carbon after when it was already over, b'al ta'achar, the carbon should not be effective, Tamaloima. Oisai below Yerotza. This carbon that's pigol is ineffective. Vein amenachem nidra below Yerotza. Why, says Tosfos, would we think that if you're over about to acher, your carbon shouldn't work? Says Tosfos. Because just like we find that many kabbonis, the Torah gives us a certain age that the animal has to be. And if it's older, the carbon is possible. We would think that about to acher is similar to that. That's what the Torah says, the Baal Ta'achar is not the same. Achayim Oimrim, Lo'yichoshiv, what do I learn from the word Lo'yichoshiv? The din that we just discussed. B'machshav hu nifsal, that if Pishas, when the carbon was being brought, there was improper machshava, that's how the carbon becomes disqualified. V'ein nifsal b'shlishi. This is where we learn that if it just became nicer, it doesn't retroactively disqualify the carbon. Umen Azai, ask the Gemara that the pasuk the bezevach hakos medaber v'ein b'koyin, that that's what we learn from these words b'nalei. Where will we learn this din? Ibai say menafkalei medacherim. He's going to learn it from where acherim learns it. Ibai say medeksiv loyirotza v'loyirotza zivchehu. Loyirotza is going on the carbon, not on the koyin. Ubenazai oisa. Below Yerotza. Ask the Gemara. Mehachanafka? Is this the place where he learns the halacha that if somebody was over about to acher, the carbon doesn't come possible? Doesn't he learn it with acherim nafka? Doesn't he learn it from a lima that we learned from the acherim? The Tanya, as the Brisa says, acherim oimrim, yoch yehei bechor, sh'evra shenosai. A bechor, we know that every bechor has to be brought like a carbon shlomim, that it should be considered if you waited past 1 year. Why past 1 year? Because in 1 year you have 3 yom tovim. And like I said before, once 3 yom tovim pass, it's baal ta'achar. So we would think that a bechor is k'psula megdoshim v'yipaso, tamlem v'chat l'fnei shem l'kecha, masa d'goncha. Makash bechor l'masa. Ma maisa, just like by maisa sheni, we know that halacha is just because you leave it to the second year, it doesn't become disqualified. What's the raya? So Rashi says the gevaldige raya. We know that the end of the 3rd year of the 7-year Shemitah cycle, they said vidi meiser. So that's when we say bi'arti ha-kodesh min ha-bayis, that we distributed all the meiser. But if I had to distribute all the meiser within the first year, what am I waiting for bi'arti min ha-kodesh min ha-bayis for the 3rd year? So we see that there is no disqualification by Meiser of leading it to the 2nd year. Af b'chor, ene nifsol, b'shana l'chaverta. So the Gemara's question is very obvious. We already have a pasuk to teach us that just because you over about to acher, it doesn't disqualify the carbon. So how come Ben Azai is saying that we learn it from this pasuk that we just said, oisoi, oisa ba yirotza, that only pigles lo yirotza, but ain't a menachem nedra ba lo yirotza, answers the Gemara Itzrich. Because if we only had that pasuk says the Gemara, Salkadat Chamina, Hanimili Bechor, where is the Torah lenient? That even though you were over Baal Ta'achar, it doesn't disqualify the Kayin? By Bechor. Because Bechor is not a carbon, the Barat Sohu, that affects Kapara. A Bechor is the firstborn animal, has to be brought as a carbon. Avul Kachim, the Bnei Hatzoninu, but a regular carbon, which is here to affect Kapara. Maybe the halachi should be that if you brought it too late, it's disqualified. That's why we need this pasuk. So the Gemara here is saying a very big chiddush. The Rishonim point out. The Gemara is saying that all kabbanis besides carbon bechor, all kabbanis besides carbon bechor are kabbanis that affect kapara. So the Rishonim point out, Karban Chatas, Karban Asham, we know the Torah says you bring those Karbanas for specific Averis. But what about Karban Alila? What about Karban Shlomim? They're not brought for Averis, so what Kapara do they affect? To which the Rishonim respond, and we've already learned this concept, that a Karban Alila and a Karban Shlomim bring Kapara for Chayiv Asay. If somebody violated a mitzvah Asay, that's what you bring a Karban Alila, a Karban Shlomim. But then I saw the Achronim asking Kavalda Gakasha. So what do we have to, so we have two very different types of kabbanas. Oil and shlam are probably the two most extreme different type of kabbanas. Oil is completely burnt, and shlam is the carbon that you get the most heat from, and the most time to eat from. And they're both for the same Aveira. So why do we have two kabbanas, which are very different for the same purpose? Where's which? So beautiful pshat. There are two types of chiyuv esay. One is a chiyuv asay that you really don't have a choice to do. You have to put on tefillin every day. If you don't put on tefillin, you are over a mitzvah asay. Doing chesed with another person is also a mitzvah asay. But it's not the same mitzvah asay as tefillin. Because if somebody approaches me for tzedakah, I'm not obligated to give it specifically to that individual. I could choose to give the tzedakah to someone else. I'm not obligated to give tzedakah today. I could choose to wait to give the tzedakah till tomorrow. So even though they're both mitzvahs asay, they're very different characteristics. The oil is brought for a mitzvah asay that you were obligated to do when you violated. A person didn't put on tefillin, he has to go bring a carbon oil up. Somebody who was approached to give tzedakah and he didn't give it, you can't compare the aveira, but it's an aveira. And for that you bring a carbon shlomim. And the Mefarshim take it one step further. Gvaldik. When somebody brought the Rambam, if we look in the Rambam, when he speaks about the Avoidus HaKabonis, he says, when somebody brought a carbon oil, he said vidui. When somebody brought a carbon shlom, he didn't say any vidui. And the explanation is beautiful. If somebody didn't put on tefillin, he has to say vidui. He did an Aveira. Kakafta the Leimanach tefillin. Terrible Aveira. If somebody didn't give tzedakah, it's an aveira, but it's not a vidui, because he could have had it a good excuse to give it to someone else or a different time. Continues the Gemara. Vakati still asks the Gemara, why do we need this pasuk? Vakati mihasam nafka, we have a different pasuk to teach us v'hoi b'chochet. The pasuk says that if you ma'achad the nether, then you will have a aveira, v'loi b'kaban chochet. But that carbon is still good. And the Mefarshim, the Mashach Chokma says, how do we connect? We have a drasha. And how do we take that pasuk and connect it to Baal Ta'achar? She says, beautiful pshat. What is the pasuk teaching us? That if you do something, you'll have an aveira. So what's the Torah teaching us? Says the Mashach Chokma. If bringing carbon after the proper time when Baal Ta'achar is a meaningless carbon, then you don't have an aveira for bringing that carbon. You didn't do anything. What is the Torah telling us? Your carbon is a carbon. But we have still the aveira about ta'achar. Benazai. So again, why do we need this pasuk to teach us this halacha? Answers the Gemara, Benazai needs it for a different limud altogether. It's your aveira, not your wife. What does your wife have to do with this? Sa'gadat chamina. A person's wife doesn't pass away. the ein loy, unless, well, first we're going to learn Rashi's pshat, unless he stole money and doesn't return it. Shenemar im ein lecha l'shalem lama yikach mishkofcha mitachtecha b'hai oven the bal ta'acher. I would think perhaps nami mesa, that somebody's wife should pass away because he didn't bring his kabbonis in the proper time. Kamashma for this avera, his wife doesn't die. So Mefarshim asks, first we're going to learn the Gemara with Rashi's pshat, and then we'll start with Tosfos's pshat. So Mefarshim asks the obvious question. Why should somebody's wife die because he didn't return, he stole and didn't return? So Mefarshim say, I mean, this is the pshat that I saw, is that we're referring here to an individual who's using his wife as an excuse. He said, my wife doesn't let me return. And maybe indeed, I saw this in the Musa's forum, because the Moses Forum, just for a moment to stop, make a very interesting observation. What is the difference, they say, this is more for Ser Shimei Tshuva, what is the difference between the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the din of a judge? A regular court. So they said that the primary difference is as follows. If somebody does something wrong and it's taken to court, so the court has different punishments that they have to sentence. And they do what they do. If somebody did an avera, his family suffers, that the husband's not home, the father's not home. The court doesn't take that into consideration. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that into consideration. Here, we're referring to a situation that it's his wife who's not allowing him to return the money. Or his wife says, you're obligated to support me before you return the money to the person you owe the money to. Therefore, says the Torah, so your wife is part of the Avera. So that's why when you get punished, your wife should suffer, even though normally when a Shemaim, they worry about the wife because she didn't do anything wrong. That's one approach. Tosfos has a whole different approach. Tosfos says, B'hoi b'chachet, Ein ishtoi, Tosfos says, when the Gemara says, Ein ishtoi shalad ha-meisim kemi v'akshmano v'ein loy, it's referring to a case where a person made a nether. And if a person made a nether and he didn't fulfill his nether, that's when his wife dies. So the obvious question is, and now the Gemara is saying that not for Baal Ta'akr. So the obvious question was Rishonim and Achronim all ask. According to Tosfos, the Gemara doesn't make any sense. First, the Gemara is saying that why does a wife die? Because he didn't fulfill his Nadarim. And then the Gemara is saying, but not by Baal Ta'akr. Why not? Isn't Baal Ta'akr the best example of somebody not fulfilling his Nadarim? So his wife really should die. Answer Rishonim. There's a difference, given what I said before, why he didn't fulfill his Nadarim. If he didn't fulfill his Nadarim because his wife didn't let him fulfill the Nadarim, then she'll die. But if he didn't fulfill his Nadarim, but his wife had nothing to do with it, then she doesn't deserve to die. The simpler teretz, it makes a difference what the person's intention is. If the person has no intention of fulfilling his Nadar, then his wife will pass away. If the person has intention to fulfill the Nadar, just he's a schlep, and he does it the wrong time, Baal Ta'akhir, then his wife will not pass away. So here too, I saw that the Musa Svarim explain the Gemara in the following manner. Why is a person deserving of punishment for not fulfilling a nether, for not paying what he's supposed to pay? Because it shows a lack of kafi toiv. It shows that he's a kafi toiv, lack of recognition. I promised that I'm going to give you something. I took something from you, and then I'm not taking back. I'm not fulfilling my obligation. I obviously, if I promise something to you, that means I owe you something. And now when you come to me and you say to me, give me what you owe, why don't I pay it? Because I don't have any appreciation for what you did for me that caused me to promise it. Where is there a need for Hakaras HaTayv more than anywhere else? To whom must we show Hakaras HaTayv more to anyone else in the world? To our wives. So if you are a person who's obviously lacking in the proper midah of Hakaras HaTayv, Rachman al-Islam, then where you're really supposed to show Hakaras HaTayv, that's where you'll suffer. You'll lose your wife, Rachman al-Islam. That's the Musa Svarim. The Chassidish Svarim have a different approach. The Chassidish Svarim say as follows. We know, they say, that when a person says he's got, every time a person does a mitzvah, a malach, Malach Toiv is created. What happens when a person says he's going to do a mitzvah? So, partial Malach is created. and he's waiting to be completely developed until I do the whole mitzvah. So if somebody says he's going to give tzedakah, he's going to do a neder, and then he doesn't fulfill it, you have a half a malach. A wife is considered plagufay. Everyone of our wives is considered half a ras. So the lesson of somebody who makes a promise to do something and doesn't do it is the half a malach. Your wife is half of you. That's how you wake up to realize that you didn't fulfill your nedarim, and that's why you should be punished. Acher maimim continues the more we learned acherim said bechashavu nifso, bein nifso b'shlishi. It only gets possible if you had the wrong machshava, but it doesn't get possible if it was left into nicer. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Lo-Yechashiv, that we learned earlier this halacha, my Ovid Lay, what will he use that pasuk to teach us? Answers the Gemara, the Bar Leich Reb Yanai. Dom Reb Yanai, Menayin Lemachshava, Shemetziya Zumizu, Shnemar, the how do we know, the din that we mentioned earlier, and the din that we're going to spend learning in tomorrow's Mishnah, how do we know that if somebody had a machshavas chutz l'zman, that he also had a machshava chutz l'mukaymai, or vice versa? But the first case is the primary case, that if he had a machshavas chutz l'zman and the carbon becomes pigel, and then he had a machshavas chutz l'mukaymai, it takes away the carbon from the status of pigel. Shnema lo yichoshev, lo ya'ar by machshavas acheres. That if you have other machshavas, it takes away from being pigel. Rav Meir Masni, Om Rav Yanai, Menayin, that the pasuk teaching us a different halacha. How do you know that if somebody has the wrong machshava, machshavas pigel, or machshavas chutz mekaymai, or by karm pesach and karm shlomim, a machshavas shloi lishma? How do we know that a person gets malchus to such a machshava? Tamaloyma lo yichashiv. It's a laugh. Amalei Rav Ashila Ramari, how can we say that a person gets malchus for this? Isn't this a lav shame by Maisa? And we learned in Masechta Makis, the call lav shame by Maisa, ain't like in a love. Answers the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yehudihi, don't the lav shame by Maisa like in a love. That it's a lav shame by Maisa that you do get Malkus. So actually, we spoke, I think, in our previous year, that a carbon, according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, doesn't become pigle just because the kind of thought it. He has to say it, Rashi and Tosfos say. So ask the Rishonim, why is our Gemara saying that pigel is a lav shame by Maisa? Because it's only Machshava. Rashi and Tosfos says it only with Dibur. And in fact, the Ramban, who disagrees with Rashi and Tosfos, says the Raya, that a carbon becomes pigel without the coin articulating the Chutz L'Zman and Chutz M'Kaymai, just with a Machshava, is our Gemara. So, how do we understand our Gemara according to Rashi and Tosfos? So the obvious answer, we're all thinking, is that Dibur is not considered a Maisa. Ask the Tosfos Shans that we bring a Raya that Dibur is a Maisa. We're going to learn in tomorrow's Shir, and we've mentioned it previously, Temura. What's the case of Temura? Where I have an animal that's Kaidish, a perfectly fine animal, and I'm Maimer, and I say the other carbon should be substituted. And the Aloch is you get Malkus for Temura. So you see that that just with a Dibur is considered Malkus. So how do Rashi and Tosfos explain our Gemara when the Gemara is saying that this din, that pigle is a lav shei b'maisa, only Rabbi Yehuda holds you get Malkus because it's a lav shei b'maisa. So the Stipulus has a very interesting approach. He says, you know when Dibur is considered a Maisa? Dibur is considered a Maisa when it accomplishes something constructive. Let's take the case of Temura. The Torah says, "V'ha'yehu usmarasa yekaidish." So somebody does the act of Temura, he did an Aveira. But what else does the Torah say happens when you do a Temura? The other animal that you used for the Temura becomes Kaidish. So when your Dibur accomplishes something constructive, that's a Dibur, that's a Maisa. And for that Dibur, you'll get Malkus. In Algamar, even if you articulated the pigel, did it accomplish anything constructive? It didn't accomplish anything constructive. It accomplished something not good. It accomplished that the carbon became pigel. A Dibur that doesn't accomplish something constructive is not considered a Maisa. And that's why our Gemara, even if you hold like Rashi and Tosfos, the pigel only becomes pigel with a Dibur. The Dibur that's not constructive is not a Dibur that you should get Malkus for.